rise and turn over to 463. We'll get started. 463. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light, pressing more closely to whom are leading when we are tempted to turn from the way. Trusting the arm that is strong to defend us. Happy, how happy our praises each day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Walking in footsteps of gentle forbearance, footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love. Looking to Him for the grace freely promised. Happy, how happy our journey above. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward, still upward, we'll follow our guide. When we shall see Him, the King, in His beauty, happy, how happy our place at His side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Amen. Let's see. Brother Gene, would you open us up with a prayer, open our service? Amen. Let me all be seated. Just a quick note, we're going to have just an update after the service this morning. So if all the members would stay afterwards, we'll have an update. Let's turn over to 521. 521. Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today, leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Amen. We'll have our offering now, and then after that, Brother Johnny will come and sing for us. So if you'd all rise, and we'll turn over to 586. 586. Would a couple of ushers please come, please? When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can remain when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Can we have a couple of ushers, please? Please come. Amen. Brother Roger, would you pray for us?
We are so thankful for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for this church that You've given us. We pray, Lord, yes, that all that be done with it to be pleasing to You.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that be with Sam today as it breaks out the bread of life to us, that hearts will be open and certainly listening to your word. We just thank you so much for your many blessings. We pray, Lord, that you use this offering not only to further the gospel here, but throughout the world for our missionaries that we do support. Thank you so much for your love, your watch care. Thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother Johnny, would you please come and sing for us?
Good morning, everyone. You know, before God had mercy upon me and saved my soul, I was walking in spiritual blindness. And just like this dear saint in the song, he was blind physically, but when Jesus came by and touched him, he could see clearly. And when my God saved my soul, he touched me spiritually and opened up my spiritual eyes, and I can see the things that God has in store for me. Please. My name is Bartimaeus, the turn of love. No one cares if I live or die. Now all day long I sit here begging while people walk on by. But today, oh, I heard them whispering. They said that Jesus was passing through. I've heard that he had healed a blind man, and I wondered, could it be true? Now since he's coming close, will he hear this blind man cry? It is now or never. I may not make it, but oh, I must try. Jesus, the living Savior, King of glory, thou son of David. One touch is all I need to make my eyes see. Lord, continue to heal me. Now wait a minute. but that I'm feeling numb. Someone's hand is on my brow, and I feel such power now. Oh, he speaks to me. He says that I'm now free, and oh, I can see my Jesus, my living Savior, my King of glory, thou Son of David. How one touch you made my eyes see, and you gave new life to me. I must tell somebody, tell somebody, tell somebody. Just one time, oh, you made my eyes see. You gave new life to me. I just have to tell somebody. Yes, beloved, I must. I must tell them what my Lord Jesus has done for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory.
We're blessed to have Brother Sam come tonight today and preach for us. We really appreciate him coming out. Brother Sam, would you come on up and preach for us?
Thank you, Johnny. Yes. Jesus is our Savior, our power. He's coming again, and praise the Lord for that. Good morning, folks. You know one thing? This is a day that the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Of course, it's good to be with you, folks. Betsy sends her greetings. Betsy's been having a rough time. She had gout for 3 weeks, and now she's got bronchitis and coughing, and so she thought she better not come, but she certainly sends her greetings and would like to be here, you know. Ruthie and Claudia are in from Brazil, and so they are looking forward to coming, you know. They are busy right now. They're not out of town up with our daughter Beth and Tom and so forth. But anyhow, greetings to them too. And another thing, you know, I don't know what to tell you folks, but we have a new great-grandson born this morning. And we've got four more coming along. So here, five, you know, of these great-grandkids coming. I mean, I do not know what I started, but I started a real storm, that's for sure. Okay, this morning, let's open our Bibles, first of all, here to Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And we're just going to read the first five verses here. Thinking about our Lord, he maketh all things new. He maketh all things new. And so we have here a few new things that he's going to make. Good things here. So Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Let's pray. Father, we just are in your presence now, in your presence, Lord Jesus, in your presence, our Father. And thank you, Lord, that we come to worship you, to bless you, to praise you. And Lord, we ask you now just to be with us, that this meditation might be a blessing to us, and that you will just guide by your Holy Spirit and glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our midst today. In your precious name, amen. Okay, here, you know, this is a new year. It's already been going a little while here, but I thought, okay, one thing, we can go back and say Happy New Year. One thing, it's a year, it's a new year still, right? And we want it to be happy, right? A happy new year. Amen. May it be so. Now, so we're going to consider that a little bit today. As I say, a few weeks past the Happy New Year, but this is a Happy New Year, and we want to consider the promises of God, and we want to realize that God makes all things new. You know, now, so the biblical joy or happiness are not dependent on circumstances and situations. Wow. You mean happiness and joy are not dependent on circumstances or situations? Well, one thing is, this seems ridiculous and certainly involves tensions and stresses and so forth. And, you know, I want to be a happy camper, you know? You want to be a happy camper, right? But and I'm okay now. Hey, I played softball on Friday. Why wouldn't I be a happy camper, you know? But I'm not so sure when I'm in with pain and aching, you know, and I just a little bit a wimp, you know. But I got to learn to be happy all the time, right? Because the Lord is present and we are living in his presence. And so that is so important. And, you know, there are so many things new. Everything is new. I mean, new technologies. One thing we are thankful for are new medical advances. The new medical things do help us, and we are thankful for that. And there are new cell phones and so forth and all this, and these iPods. And man, I can't believe it, these crazy phones that cost a lot of money, I guess, because I don't have one and don't want one. But I mean, you get up there and you ask this dumb phone a question and it gives you the answer, you know. And then you look up here and you want a map down in Brazil and who's going where, and there it is. And this technology is just going on and on and on. New things, new things, new things. And for some, they make life easier. For some, they make life easier. For others, they make life more difficult. And I think they make my life more difficult, although, of course, I'm kind of out of it. And so there are different cultures today. There are different subcultures. There are children subcultures and young people subcultures and adult subcultures. But one of the things, we all want to be, by God's grace, governed by truth and love, right? We want salvation to all of these generations, and that we can be together, you know, by the Lord's grace and mercy and salvation. And so that's what we're going to do. But now, one thing about the new technologies, and I think this is true. If it's not true, well, you correct me too. But in most cases, oh, I escaped. In most cases, new technologies are amoral, meaning they don't have morality in themselves. You see, but the problem is they do not help our morality or our spirituality in themselves. In other words, a television set is amoral. It has no morality. Now, if you want to take a sledgehammer to it, go ahead. You might want to do that, you know, but it's amoral. Just to show you, I don't give you a little history, but the mission we were in South America for 24 years or so, why the position got to be where the people, the believers, were disciplined from the Lord's table if they had a television set. Now you see, that is very dangerous. You can only separate and have church discipline for sin, right? And an unrepentant sinner, a believer. But and so what did that do? It divided the missionaries, divided missions. Because, and I talked to the superintendent of this mission in Buenos Aires, and I said, a television set is amoral. Now, if you read Psalm 101 and you apply it to a television set, it's really neat. I will know not let anything false come into my house, and da-da-da, right? But it shows how the danger of going off in tangents like that, because the tuned technology does not necessarily at all help us morally or spiritually. In fact, for young people, they even make our spiritual decisions more difficult. Really, very, very difficult. Now, today we're going to just consider a few things about new things, okay? And I'm going to just briefly consider a new song, a new covenant, okay, a new body, the body of Christ, a new heavens, a new earth, and a new creation. Okay, five little points, okay, if you want to kind of follow this thinking. The first thing we have is a new song, right? A new song. The psalmist said, sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with loud noises, says the psalmist, you know? And certainly we want to have a song in our hearts. This year, right now, we certainly want to rejoice in the Lord. We have two passages that are kind of interesting. One is in Ephesians 5:18, the other is in Colossians 16. And it says here that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'd rejoice. You speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Then you go to Colossians 3:16, and if you're filled with the Word, you also, you know, are speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So I find my personally, brethren, listen, pray for me. Pray for me, okay? I need to walk in the Word of God. I need to be filled with the Word of God. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God in order that I might speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, right? I mean, we need that. We need to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the evermore. That passage in Thessalonians. Rejoice evermore, you know? Pray without ceasing. But here, and these words, we could take up the word rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice, rejoice. And I like this in John 15:11, the Lord Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain, that your joy might be full. Oh, wow. I mean, these things have I spoken unto you. And we could read down there through in John 15. You know, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing, right? And so you have all down in prayer, that beautiful passage there of of the vine and the branches. And Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, the disciples, that your joy might be full, that your joy might remain, and your joy might be full. So we do want to, by God's grace and mercy, have a new song in our hearts, right? And then there's the new covenant. Now, this is really interesting. We know that there's the old covenant and the new covenant. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the Old Covenant under the law of Moses. The Bible says, and Paul says, that it's holy and good, but the problem with it doesn't save us. The problem is we can't keep the Ten Commandments, you know, and especially if you do Jesus' interpretation on the Sermon on the Mount. Whoa, wow, guilty, right? And so Paul tells us in Galatians, that the law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. The law shows us how sinful we are. You know, how impossible it is to keep the Ten Commandments, you know, by ourselves. And the big issue in religion is trying to save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot do good works to save ourselves. The problem of the Galatians, here Paul had spent time in among the Galatians. He had established the church. He spent time with them. And then in chapter 3 he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? No, did you receive the Spirit by the keeping of the law or by the hearing of faith?" No, and so the problem with us sometimes as Christians is we try to be good. We try to be good. We're not good. We're not good. God is good. Jesus is good. The Holy Spirit is the love, joy, peace in our lives, right? And so we live by faith and not by sight. And so the old covenant just doesn't work for us. And here we read Paul saying, "Who made us able ministers of the New Testament, of the New Covenant. But through their minds they were blinded." You know, I have a 2 Corinthians 3, a wonderful passage, a wonderful study between the law of Moses and walking in the Spirit. You know? "But we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being changed from glory to glory, even by the Spirit." So it's not by works of righteousness we have done. So that's the old covenant. But the new covenant, praise the Lord. And in Hebrews we have, "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." So he's going to make a new covenant. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, says in Hebrews. And we have then the wonderful thing of the communion of the new covenant, the communion of the New Testament. And we celebrate and we have the Lord's table and we celebrate what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Paul gives us such a wonderful teaching in 1 Corinthians 11, that "these things I have brought to you in remembrance of me, my body given, my blood shed," you know? And he says then that this is the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. So praise the Lord that we are not under the old covenant. We are not under legality. Being legal does not save us. Rights and wrongs, you get this list and of vows and so forth. But it's not by do's and don'ts. It's by the control of the Holy Spirit and the new covenant. So praise the Lord. I had it back here too, and I should go back to that. I had something here about trying to do new things here, trying to have new technologies, but also having vows. It's very dangerous to make a vow. I would not say make a vow to the Lord. And of course, New Year's resolutions are not so good, right? What we can do new is a new commitment to the Lord. And that's what this is also even about the new covenant. So here briefly we have a new song, a new covenant, a new testament in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have a new body. And we have this body is called the church. And we have this in the New Testament. We study the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in Ephesians that he died on the cross, he shed his blood, for to make in himself of two, one new man, so making peace. So here we have in Ephesians chapter 2, the Jew and the Gentile, you know, and they are enemies. And but Jesus brings peace, and he brings these Jews and Gentiles into one body, and they are called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just love this in Ephesians. "And hath put all things under his feet to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." I like that definition. How do you like this definition of the church? We know it's ecclesia, you know, separated ones, you know, taken out in the body of Christ. But how do you like this definition? The church is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Isn't that wonderful? The church is the true church of Jesus Christ is the fullness of Jesus Christ. The true church is the fullness of Jesus. And so he also says here, and I love this, give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor the church of God. So basically those are the three peoples we have in the world today. We have the Jew, the Gentile, the Jew and Gentile, the church of God, right? And we know that God has a future for the Jewish people as such too. So here we have then this wonderful thing here with a new song. We have now we have a new covenant and a new body. And now we have also what we call the new heavens and the new earth. Let's look a moment here in Isaiah 65 and verse 17, a prophecy concerning these things. And we know that there will be a new heaven and that there will be a new earth. And so praise the Lord for these promises and the multitude of prophecies that we have in the Old Testament about these things. And in Isaiah 65 and verse 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." Here we have this prophecy in the Old Testament that Peter quotes, and then even John the Apostle quotes too, that there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And so that is so wonderful that we have these new things. We're not going to study that passage today, but look at what we have. Peter says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth," right? And we are looking for the rapture, right? We are looking to be with Jesus. And so he's coming again. And there's nothing, as you know, in prophecy that has to happen before Jesus comes. No wonder we say with the bride in Revelation, "Come, even so come, Lord Jesus." And we are anxious for Jesus to come. All the signs are pretty nice. All the signs are this. If you study the Middle East, this was so funny. The other day I took Betsy to urgent care. And so we were in there, and this doctor came, and she was about this high. She was absolutely beautiful, and she was from Somalia. She was from Somalia. So Betsy asked her, "Where are you from?" And she said, "Somalia." And so I began to talk to her about Somalia, and she was so surprised that I knew so much about Somalia. Mogadishu, the capital, and the warlords, and no central government. And it's a mission field, but a dangerous one. The U.S. went in there and couldn't do anything. Nobody can do anything because there are just warlords, and there's no central government. And so here's this lady whose parents fled Somalia when she was 3 years old, and here she's a medical doctor. She recommended these things. But anyhow, so Peter says, you know, look for a new heavens and a new earth. But there are seven new things mentioned here in Revelation that we could study, I suppose. There's a new heaven, there's a new earth, there are new peoples. There's a new Jerusalem, a new temple, new light, a new paradise, right? And so all of these new things, he maketh all things new. Amen. He maketh all things new. And what a wonderful promise that we have of the Lord's working in this way, right? And but now I would like to, I want to have a new song in my heart. Happy camper, because of the Lord's mercy and grace and salvation, right? And thank you, Lord, that we are part of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, his shed blood for us on the cross. Thank you for the church of Jesus Christ, the true church of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, but only my brothers and sisters, if they've been born again of the Spirit of God, right? And no, we don't know who they are, right? We try to think of who they ain't, but anyhow, we try to do. But it's the body of Christ. Okay, that's okay. And then the new heavens and the new earth. But what I want to concentrate a little bit on this morning is the new creation. The new creation. We are all familiar with 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Wow. Wow. Now, it seems like the key there, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ? I think everyone here is a believer, as far as we know. But if you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the time to do it. We have sinned. We are sinners. We are rebellious against God. By nature. And you are rebellious. If you do not know Jesus, then you can come to him today and receive him as your Savior from sin and the Lord of your life. And he places you in Christ. Therefore, there's a miracle in your life. If any man be in Christ, he's new. He's new. He's a new creature, right, in Christ. And so that's wonderful, this wonderful thing of being new in Christ. Old things are passed away. Wow. I tried to look this up, and what happens when you're in college or seminary, you take your 2 years of Greek, and maybe you take a year of Hebrew, and with a 2 years of Greek and 1 year of Hebrew, you don't know Greek or Hebrew. The problem, I used to tell my students at the seminary, okay, you're taking 2 years of Greek. Buddy, do this. Take apart a verse, one verse a week, and do the diagram of the verbs and prepositions and so forth and the tenses. If you do one verse a week, well, you'll hang on to your Greek. If you don't, you're going to lose it. And you don't. If you lose it, you won't be able to use it. So it's very hard to be a good Greek scholar, you know, or Hebrew culture. And with me, going from English to Spanish to Portuguese certainly didn't help me along that line. But here's what they're supposed to be. Passed away, an aorist tense, indicating the decisive change salvation brings. Old things are passed away. Now we have to remember that. Lord, I am a new creature in Christ. You have done a miracle in my life. I've been born again. There's a new birth. You know? And the Lord Jesus certainly told Nicodemus about that, didn't he? Except to be born again, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And so there's this definitive thing. An aorist is kind of a punctiliar thing. It's done, you know? Now, it also has consequences. I've been thinking about this verse because this verse is so common. And so all things are passed away. Okay. Hey, yes, but I am dealing all the time with old things, right? You're dealing, there are things in your life, in your past, there are things that come out now and then. All old things are passed away, and all things are passed away. But we have to enter into the experience of that by the Holy Spirit and walking with the Lord. Isn't that true? You know, some of us who weren't brought up in Christian homes, you can't believe what a sailor in the Navy at 19 years old, and I'd never been in church, didn't know Sunday school, you can't believe the filthy thoughts I had. You know? And you can't believe that the devil brings up some dumb thought. You know? Old things are passed away. Yes, but stand there in Christ then. Amen. You know? Wash me, cleanse me, oh Lord of glory. You know? Because we're not there until we're there, right? And by God's grace. So I have often said before, You people who have been brought up in a Christian home, you thank the Lord. You don't have as much baggage as some of us who didn't know the Lord. And then I'm amazed. I mean, look what happened out at the ball field. This is really weird. There was a guy named Paul. And Paul is a great player. He's a great guy. A few weeks ago, he walked up to me and he says, I thought of you. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. And I looked at him and I said, where did you learn that? In Sunday school. Because 2 years ago, I tried to talk to him about the Lord and he got offended. And yet this last Friday, I walked up to him and I said, Paul, I said, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. But he learned that in Sunday school. I never learned that in Sunday school. Wasn't in Sunday school. And camps. Oh, Christian camps. Bessie made all of her spiritual decisions at summer camps. Young people, junior high, senior high, summer camps. But a lot of you people then, you don't have baggage. Praise the Lord if you don't have baggage. You know? But the Lord, in any case, all things are passed away, right? All things are become new, and this is a perfect tent indicating abiding results of the new life in Christ. Amen. That's what I want, right? All things are passed away, all things are becoming new, and they are new and new and new and new. You know? I had a thought about this. Every day is new. I want a new, now don't misunderstand me here. I want a new heart every day. I want a new heart every moment, meaning a new commitment. Oh, Lord, you know, I don't know what you do for your devotions, but I've gotten into the habit recently. The first thing I do when I get up is I kneel down and pray. I thank the Lord. I really do this now. And I say, good morning, Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, blessed Holy Spirit. I will both lay down in peace and sleep. For you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. And then I pray and I yield myself to the Lord. And later on, I take my prayer walk and I pray for my kids and so forth. At the moment, about 70, I don't know how many is going to be. But I told you this before. I think an atheist could do this if he would sit down and go over all these people. But I thank the Lord. The only reason I know all these people is because I pray for them every day. Right? I pray it goes over all the list. And I pray the whole. Now I'm going to have five more. Oh, boy. So, but that's it. That's my prayer walk, you know, and so forth. And then the reading of the Bible. But because why? If any man be in Christ, oh Lord, I am in Christ. All things are passed away. Wash me and I shall be clean. Cleanse me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me, Lord, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. All things are become new in the Lord Jesus. And it's a moment by moment walk. And there's another thing here about another thing new. Jesus said in John, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Amen. Woo! Wow. The new commandment, to love one another. And so, may the Lord bless us that way. And ye must be born again. Right? And I also say, let me just share this. And okay, I just share it, and pardon me if it's a little bit personal, but it's okay. But you have Psalm 24, and look at this. It says, it's talking about, it's a wonderful psalm, and the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity or sworn deceitfully, and so forth. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So I frankly do say, Lord, wash me, cleanse me. Oh, Lord, give me clean hands and a pure heart. Oh, Lord. And that may be 10 times a day. See, it's a moment by moment walking in the presence of God. Isn't that true? It is a moment by moment walking in the presence of the Lord. So just briefly this morning, then, we have looked at this new year. It's a happy year. The Lord is in control, right? And here I end with this that you've heard before. Child of my love, fear not the unknown morrow. Dread not the new demand life makes of thee. Thy ignorance doth hold no cause for sorrow. For what thou knowest not is known to me. Thou canst not see today the hidden meaning of my command, but thou the light shall gain. Walk on in faith, upon my promise leaning, and as thou goest, all shall be made plain. One step thou seest, then go forward boldly. One step is far enough for faith to see. Take that, and thy next duty shall be told thee, for step by step thy Lord is leading thee. Stand not in fear, thy adversary is counting. Dare every peril save to disobey. Thou shalt march on, all obstacles surmounting, for I, the strong, will open up the way. Wherefore, go gladly to the task assigned thee, having my promise, needing nothing more than just to know where the future finds thee. In all thy journeyings, I go before. And that's a promise that the Lord has for us. You know, I would like us to sing number 395, Be Thou My Vision. I've got into this song again. Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Walking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom and Thou my true word. And so forth here down through this wonderful song, Be Thou My Vision. It's kind of interesting that I was looking in a magazine I get, Christian History, and it had the 25 most important or historical songs. And this song, author unknown, was number 5. It means it went back in church history about in the 500s, the 500s in church of the church, that this song, translation of course here, has been sung since about the 5th century, 5th or 6th century. And your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. David, would you come and lead us, please? And Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my blessed thought by day and by night. Walking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Be Thou my wisdom and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I Thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with Thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man empty praise. thou mine inheritance now and always, thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Amen.
Anyone really hasn't received Christ, please come forward and ask Jesus into your life, okay? Father, thank you for new life in Christ. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your person, Lord, of glory. And oh, Lord, so would you say, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.
Amen. Would all the members please stay just for an update, a quick update.